And I can tell this story like we went out for a walk and this ray of sunshine came down and shone on me, and I could hear the leaves or hear the birds and smell the flowers, and everything was good. And I had this vision of, oh, I need to transform my life and everything's going to be good. And I had this specific plan. But that's not what happened. What happened was that Deuter went to the next door neighbor and took a crap in his yard. So I had to go clean it up.
Hi, this is Mandy, and I'm a big-ass runner from sunny Florida. Welcome to the Big Ass Runner Podcast, where we entertain and encourage trail runners from all over the world. Now here's your host, Jeff Harrell.
Well, thank you, Mandy. Fantastic job on that introduction. As Mandy said, my name is Jeff Harrell. This is the Big Ass Runner Trail Running Podcast, episode number 165. Seems like just a week ago we were doing 164. Time is a flying. The summer is flying by. You know, in some ways, it seems like the summer is flying by. My son's going back to college. It's so much fun having him here. In some ways, it seems like it's taking forever. The heat, I think, is to play there or to blame. It is hot. It is stinking hot, and we're just now in early August. But that's okay because, you know what? It's okay. We have a great show for you today. In segment number one, we have a guest. You're going to enjoy hearing from this guest. His name is Jeff Goodrich. Also goes by Dude. You'll find out why he goes by Dude. And he had something enter his life that changed the direction, the projection. I don't know the right word exactly, but changed his life pretty dramatically. If you're a fan of the puppy dog, you're going to enjoy this conversation. And there's so many great life lessons that we talk about as well. That's segment number one. And segment number two, the dangers of dehydration. I'm going to tell you the story of my business trip this past week and how dehydration played a part, how someone I'm calling Angry Al played a part, and how really having to go to the bathroom played a part. Hopefully you will enjoy that. That's segment number two. Don't want to miss that. But first, we don't ask for a lot here at the Big Ass Runner, but one thing we would love from the Big Ass Runner herd, because I know you're sitting there going, how can I help the show? Well, there's two ways. Well, actually, there's a lot of ways, but there's three. I'm going to do three ways to help the show. The first one, a review on Apple Podcasts. We have not gotten a review since May, a written review from Chef the Chef, serving up some wisdom nuggets with Chef the Chef. We have not had one since May. We would love a written review. It helps people find the podcast. Still, a majority of people listen on Apple, although Spotify's taken over. Slowly but surely. Makes me think of airplane. It's not taking over. Quit calling me Shirley.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, roger. What's our vector, Victor?
But that's one way, is the Apple Podcast written review. It's free. It's easy. I don't know how easy it is. I think it's easy. We would love a review, an honest review. 5 stars would be the best, of course. We will read it here. If you don't think we deserve 5 stars, you give us whatever you think we deserve. We're okay with that. That's one way. Another way is, did you know we have merch? We have shirts and we have hoodies and we have other things on our website, bigassrunner.com. Click on merch. You also learn about coaching there, other things as well, bigassrunner.com. And the third way, if you want to be part of the show, we would love for you to do one of the following: an introduction. You heard Mandy do the intro. That was actually back from episode 51. I would love a fresh new introduction. That would be fantastic. Jeff at Big Ass Runner, if you'd like to do an intro. Very easy to do. I give you the script. You can go off script. You do whatever you want. This is your show. You can do whatever you want. So an intro would be great. Also, we would love to do another Why I Run. So if you're interested in sharing the why behind your running, we would love for you to do that. And we'd also love to do a few more Inside the Herds. Very popular segment. And if you're interested in any of those three things or all of them, let me know, Jeff@BigAssRunner. We would love to hear from you, and we'd love to have you be a part of the show. I know you are a part of the show, but we'd love to hear your voice, have your voice represented on this show. We would love that. Well, with that, let's get going on episode number 165 of The Big Ass Runner. All right. Well, now joining us on the Big Ass Runner Hotline, I have Jeff, Dude Goodrich. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. It's, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I have to have another Jeff on because it's a great first name. It's the greatest first name. I don't know if it's the greatest first name. It's just a good one.
There's a lot of us out there. Yes.
There are a lot, especially our age. We determined we're a very similar age. In fact, maybe exactly the same age. A lot of Jeffs our age, but not a lot of Jeff, Goodriches. So we'll learn more about why you have Dude as a nickname here in a little bit. But you're talking to the Big Ass Runner herd. That's what we like to call ourselves, some of the greatest people out there. And I'd love for them to get to know you a little bit. So tell us a little bit about where you are in the world, where you grew up, and a little bit about your athletic background.
All right. I currently live in a small little town here in Idaho. My wife and I moved up here about 6 months ago. And the good news about living in a small little town on the side of a mountain is I have a lot of trails that I can access.
Amazing.
And I have them to myself. I went up for a run this morning and with the dogs and just had the whole trail to ourselves. I love that. So my wife and I grew up in Utah. And, you know, a little bit of story here. In high school, I got my girlfriend pregnant. We were married at 18 with a kid on the way. So wow. I've been married a very long time, 37 years we've been married, right? Athletic background, I don't have much of one. I remember running track when I was in eighth grade, but that's about it. Played a little basketball, done some mountain biking in my life, but that's about it. I never really did consider myself an athlete at all.
So you got married early. Did that impact some of your athletic endeavors, or were there other things that you were into, like, you know, band or whatever else?
That impacted everything because when you're 18 and you got a kid on the way and you're married, you have to try to figure life out as fast as you can. Okay, well, I'm supposed to do what everyone tells me I'm supposed to do. Go get a job, go to school, you know, take care of my family and all that kind of stuff. So it kind of just moved into that flow of, hey, do what you're supposed to do, get a job and just do that. Take care of your family.
And is that what you did?
That's what I did. That's what I had to do.
I got it. And we're going to talk a little bit because you found yourself, we're going to fast forward here in a second. You kind of found yourself in this midlife crisis, feeling a little bit stuck. I'm curious if some of that, the things that happened at 18 impacted you later in life. And have you kind of unpacked some of that? Like, these are some of the things that maybe I didn't deal with back then that impacted me later in life.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, I think the best way to answer that is let's talk about I call it my transformation story. Okay.
I love it. Let's hear it.
So let's start with that. So when I was 49 and just about ready to turn 50, I decided let's get a dog. I never grew up with dogs. And so I brought this dog. He's a Vizsla. His name's Duder. And at the time, I was in a really bad place in my life. So I had spent maybe 15, 16 years of my life up to that milestone of 50 years living what I call the standard American lifestyle. Eating fast food, drinking my daily Dr. Peppers, you know, watching TV, sitting on the couch every single night. I had gained a lot of weight. I was overweight. Life just was not good for me. It actually reached a point where my wife was very close to divorcing me. She had already made some plans and was seriously considering it. And things just were not good. I was just in this state of mind of, hey, man, my life just sucks. What's going on? And one of the things that really started happening was regrets about my life. Here I am, 50 years old. What the heck have I done with my life? A lot of it felt like I've wasted it. And having three kids, I have three daughters, really felt like, you know, I've done a disservice to my kids. I haven't been a good example for them. I thought I was a good dad, but man, there's so much I could have done so much better. And so it really hit me. But how this all started, and here's the way I like to tell the story, is I brought Duder, my dog, into my life, and we decided to go for a walk one day. So I put the leash on my dog, and we just go out for a walk. And, you know, and I can tell this story, like, we went out for a walk, and this ray of sunshine came down and shone on me, and I could hear the leaves or hear the birds and smell the flowers, and everything was good. And I had this vision of, oh, I need to transform my life and everything's going to be good. And I had this specific plan. But that's not what happened. What happened was that Duder went to the next door neighbor and took a crap in his yard. So I had to go clean it up, right? But what did happen was the next day I went for another walk. And then the next day I did it again. And so just that daily walk, taking that first step was huge, because it started a new pattern in my life, started a new habit in my life, and it was something different. And in these walks, I left the phone at home and would just be with myself. And I started having some good conversations with myself and with Duder. Dogs are great therapists. You can talk to them and they'll listen to you, and they're fantastic. So it really started to hit me, all these regrets about my life. And then I hit 50 and I'm like, man, what's going on here? So some key things that happened during that time frame was I became aware that something wasn't right. Just awareness, just something's not right. I'm not happy with myself. I'm not happy with life. I'm not happy with my wife. I'm not happy with my job, all of it. Just my perspective of the world was not good. So at some point along that way, I made a choice. I need to do something different. Had no idea what, not a clue what I needed to do different, but I made a choice. And then I discovered my why, and I started to explore that. Why do I want to make this change? Why do I need to transform my life? Why do I want to do anything different in my life? So those three key things really were the trigger for making this happen.
Yeah. I don't want to play out the analogy too much, but you know, day one, sometimes when we start something new, day one is like a crap in the yard. You're like, oh, this is not great. This is not what I thought it was going to be. But the important day is day two, right? Getting back out there again and not letting that crap in the yard keep you from moving forward. I'm curious, you said you decided one day, I need to get a dog. You'd never had dogs before. What was it about getting a dog? Was it desperation? Like what was it? What was the trigger there?
I honestly don't know. I think a couple of my kids had had dogs, and I had there is one catalyst. So I had some friends of mine that had a Vizsla, and his name was Bear. And I have some story with this dog, and I really kind of like this Bear, this Vizsla. And so at that point in my life, I was just like, you know, I just need something different. Let's get a dog. So I talked my wife into it. There's no reason other than let's get a dog. The kids had kind of all moved out, so it was just my wife and I. And I have three daughters, so I made sure I got myself a boy dog. So he's kind of my son. That's kind of one of the triggers there. I needed a son in my life.
So you get the dog, you start on these daily hikes, daily walks. You're doing a little bit of introspection. You know that you feel like something needs to change. What was some of the things you discovered as you went on these hikes, these walks with Duder?
You know, when I made that choice and started to explore my why do I need to make some change? So I did a couple of very specific things. One, I just kept walking. I made a commitment. Well, one, Vizslas need a lot of exercise. They're a very active dog. So that was a motivating thing. He needs a walk. So I better take him out for that walk. And then we started finding some trails. So it wasn't me just going out the front door with a leash. We would go find some trails and let him run around, and I would just hike on these trails. And so one thing I realized real quick, that I would come back home after a walk in the evenings, and what would I do? I'd still sit down on a stupid couch and just turn on the TV and eat an unhealthy meal right there and watching TV. And so I canceled my TV subscription, canceled the satellite, and just stopped watching TV. TV's not good for you. I mean, there's, you know, what I found is that between the news, between what Hollywood shows are trying to tell you and what the commercials are trying to tell you, I needed to create my own world. I wasn't going to live my life according to what the TV was telling me how I should live it. So that was one realization that I came to. And on the walks, I began the process of listening to books and podcasts. I'd never even heard of a podcast before any of this. And my daughter recommended one to me, and I started listening to them. I'm like, hey, there's some pretty good information out here in this podcast world. So I just started listening to podcasts. So I was changing my inputs. Instead of the TV, it was knowledge. It was, you know, if you want to label it as self-help or any information, that was all coming into me. So it was just a whole new set of inputs coming in.
So you start taking, I love that, by the way, because we talk a lot about it on this show is, you know, the things that we do, the daily habits, the daily, you know, be it go for a walk or a run or that exercise, kind of putting those coins and they add up over time, right? So this these small deposits that you make. So I think a lot of times, you know, sometimes when we feel stuck, it's like I don't know how to move from stuck to unstuck. But a lot of times that's a day by day, small increment kind of process. I went for a run today and, you know, Garmin told me, you just increased your fitness by plus two. I'm like, all right, that's two more than I had yesterday. So it's these small little incremental deposits that you're making. So you start making these deposits on a daily basis. How long, like, what was that process like? How did you start to, like, how long did it take before you're like, okay, I feel like I'm making progress. I'm feeling a little less stuck than I was before. Talk to us a little bit about the progress you were making.
So let's go back to when I was 50, I'm walking the dog every day. I'm spending a lot of time with myself having these conversations. And I was overweight. I was about 70, 75 pounds overweight. And one, it was hard for me to walk, right? So just that daily walk was starting to have an impact on my physical body, right? And then when I hit 51, I decided, okay, let's start focusing on some things here. So one, I wanted to do some work on myself so that I could work on my relationship with my wife because I did not want that to end. I needed to work on myself so that I could kind of repair some of this relationship with my kids, change my perspective of the world, and let's lose some weight. So when I hit 51, I started researching some changes in my eating habits and I started to lose the weight. And over about 7 months period, I lost about 70 pounds. And about 6 months into losing the weight is when the running started. But before that, I wasn't running to lose the weight. It's almost like I had changed some lifestyle things. I canceled the TV, changed some of my eating. I wasn't sitting on the couch every single night. I was focused on my wife. And so I was changing lifestyle habits. And as a side effect, the weight came off. So you can't necessarily go in, oh, I'm going to go in and lose weight. And what's the first thing people do? They go join a gym. And that's just, I don't think that's a good approach. There's some lifestyle habits that have caused you to be overweight. Focus on those and the weight will come off. That's what I learned anyway.
I love it. That's so true too. Because again, if you focus too much on end state, you get stuck on how do I get there from here? I'm not really sure. So like you said, changing some of those lifestyle things are super important. I got to kind of pause for, you know, I'd love to ask you this too, because you mentioned your wife a couple of times and you said, she said it's okay to get a dog. I'm assuming she said it was okay to cancel the TV subscription. So there seems like there's a little bit of a silent hero here and that's your wife.
Yes, very much so. Absolutely. What we've both learned, and here's another thing that we've both started to do, is we actually both start listening to the same podcasts. And that gives us things to talk about, right? So we started listening to some health, nutrition, lifestyle type podcasts, and we were both listening to the same ones, and we would talk about it, and we would plan things together. But she learned very much early on that she can't do anything to change me, and I learned I can't do anything to change her. It's not about us changing each other. It's about making a choice that we want to be together and then me focusing on me first. And everyone says that's selfish. No, it's not. I had to repair my own mindset before I could then focus on her. She has to do the same kind of a thing. I need her to focus on her. And she's really started to get into yoga and mindfulness. And she became a yoga instructor. So she teaches yoga on a regular basis. And so that's helped. And that's another thing for runners. Do yoga. It's great for running. It really is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. you said something that I think is important. And I heard this. I don't know if it was a marriage retreat that I was at or something, but the leader said, "Hey, take a hula hoop, put it, you know, over your head and around your body, and then, you know, if you really want to work on your relationships, you know, work on everybody inside that hula hoop. Well, obviously, you're the only person inside the hula hoop, so you got to work on yourself. So, I think that's such a important truth that, you know, working, doing the work, and like you said, it's not selfish. It sometimes may feel that way, but it's actually the most probably unselfish thing you can do.
Yeah."
Is to work on yourself. You mentioned to me before we hit record that you just finished a Tough Mudder.
Yeah.
So you started doing these daily practices. You changed your habits, your eating habits. You start to lose weight. What happened between then and the time now? You're finishing. I mean, Tough Mudders are tough. They're called Tough Mudder for a reason. What were some of the things that happened in between then?
Well, I'll give you an example. So there was a day I distinctly remember this day. I was out hiking with Deuter. We were out on a trail, and I had lost a lot of the weight by then. And I remember just started running one day, and I ran maybe 200 yards, 300 yards. That's the most I could do. And I remember having the thought, you know, maybe I could do this. So I had already started to incorporate new things. I had new inputs coming into my mind. I was getting excited about all this new stuff. Where can I go with this? And so running was almost a side effect of all this. Well, let's try this running thing. I mean, I ran 300 yards. It was fantastic. And then I remember running around my block, a 2 mile run loop. And the first time I ran 2 miles without stopping was one of the biggest challenges of my life, but it was very rewarding. Like, I just ran 2 miles, right? So it all started there, and I just kept thinking, okay, how far can I go? How far can I go with this? And then I signed up for a half marathon, and it was actually a half marathon, a road race down in Bryce Canyon a few years ago. That wasn't my first one, but I did the half marathon, and then I signed up for another one the next month, and I started to set this pattern of, I'm going to sign up for a race once a month because it helps keep me going. And then the running became symbolic of anything else that I was doing. Like, at the time, I was collecting ideas for a book. How do I keep myself motivated to constantly write the book? Well, I'm going to set this pattern. I'm going to go for a run every day. And it just became this thing that I needed to do. And I wasn't accountable to anybody else but myself. I'm going to run every day because I'm on this journey. I've lost weight. I've transformed myself. But I'm just getting started. I might be an old man, but I'm just getting started, and I'm excited for all of this. So I started running all these half marathons, and I remember at one point I had this idea that, you know, I'll probably just keep running half marathons. That's enough for me. But then I remember one race, I'm thinking, well, okay, I've mastered this. What else can we do? So then I signed up for a marathon, and then I ran a few marathons, and then I signed up for a 55K trail race, and I ran that, and then I signed up for a 60K trail race, and then I ran that, and so I have a 50-miler on the calendar this year. So it's just it's all about challenging myself. I just want to keep challenging myself, and as long as my body keeps working, as long as I keep taking the steps to make sure that it keeps working, why not? I'm just going to keep going. I'm excited. Yeah.
I think a lot of the big ass runner herd is shaking, nodding their heads because they can relate to this idea of, you challenge yourself, you take on a goal, you succeed. You're like, okay, what's next? Before long, you've signed up for a 50 miler, like you said. And yeah. I think a lot of the big ass runner herd have done the very same thing. Well, Jeff, I'm curious, because you've mentioned working on yourself, you felt stuck, you made some changes in your lifestyle. You made some changes in yourself to impact your relationships. What is the fruit of that been? And we talked a little bit about your legacy and things that you want to do and how you impact other people. Talk to us a little bit about the fruits of some of the things that have been happening.
Well, let me answer that in the question of kind of how So I recently published a book, and the idea of this book came to me while I was out walking Deuter. And I just started collecting these little ideas of what I call lessons from Deuter. And when you start looking for ideas and you start looking for positive things in your life, you're going to find them. If you're looking for negative things in your life, you're going to find them. And so this idea of me looking for ideas that I wanted to, it started as a blog, and then I decided to put it into a book, thinking that, hey, maybe I could influence some of these people that were in the same state that I was back when they hit 50 years old, overweight, and life just kind of stinks. And so these life lessons came about all from watching Deuter. And one example of that is that when we'd go off to a trail, sometimes there were some people around, so I would have to put a leash on him. So we'd start walking down the trail, and he'd have a leash on, and Deuter does not like the leash. He hates that thing. He's just like, let's go. Come on, dude. Let me go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. And every time that as soon as I'd take that leash off of him, man, he would just bolt. He'd just take off running just as fast as he can. He didn't even care which direction he would go. He would just run as fast as he would go. The lesson the lesson I learned from that was, what are the leashes I have on myself? What's holding me back? I lived 50 years of my life with these leashes on my neck holding me back. Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? Why can't I publish a book? Why can't I do all these other things that I wanted to do? So that's one of the lessons that I learned from Deuter. And so when I started looking for all this positive stuff, and I started losing the weight, and I started to just have a different perspective on life, people could see it. My neighbors saw it. My wife saw it. My kids saw it. And I learned that I have regrets in my life. Absolutely. I have a ton of them. They're there. They're never going to go away. But how do I cope with them? And what I learned is that the best way for me to overcome regrets and have an influence on my kids is simply by what I do. I want them to see me doing this. I want them to see me losing the weight, changing my perspective. When they talk to me, I'm a different person. When they see me running these races, and it's had an influence on them. Two of my daughters have both run marathons. One of my daughters just finished a sprint triathlon this morning. And so I'm watching them kind of learn just by my example. And that's probably the best thing that I can do as a dad. That's what I believe is that's the best thing I can do as a dad, is just be an example.
Oh, love it. Yeah, that's exactly the way I feel too. And my son has started to get into trail running, and he's a great little runner. And, you know, it's like, hey, why am I doing this? Is it just for me, or is it to also influence the people around me as well? And I think that's so, so very important. Well, we teased a little bit ago the dude and Deuter. So you're going to have to tell us the story of, or whatever the story is behind the names. Let us know, what's that all about?
Well, let's come back to a lesson I learned from Deuter. So when we brought Deuter in, and we're trying to come up with, what do I name this 8-week-old puppy? I can't even tell you where the name Deuter came from. It was just like, dude, Deuter. Hey, that's a cool name. Let's name him Deuter, right? So that's how it came about. When he was a puppy, I remember one day specifically when the puppy first sees himself in a mirror. It's always an interesting exercise. Anyone that has dogs, you see the dog when they first see themselves in a mirror, they're like, you know, what's going on? I can't smell that person. Who is that person, right? The lesson I got out of that, what really got me thinking, was, well, when I look in a mirror, who am I? Am I Jeff? Because Jeff is this 50-year-old guy that kind of lived a so-so life, didn't have a good view of it, didn't accomplish things that he wanted to, didn't have discipline, whatever, whatever. And I learned that I had to become a different person when I looked in the mirror. And that's kind of how Dude came about. Dude is kind of like my alter ego. Dude's the guy that gets up at 5 a.m. every day and goes for a run. Dude's the guy that spends 30 minutes writing a book every day. Dude's the one that spends, you know, a great deal of time on the blonde. I refer to my wife as the blonde, giving her the attention and things that she needs. You know, Deuter is that. So that's the lesson, is that who do I see when I look in the mirror? So I started looking at myself in the mirror and having these conversations. Who am I? Who do I want to be? And so that's kind of how Deuter came about. Dude is that guy that does all these things. So dude's the guy that's running the 50 miler. That's for sure.
What a dude. What a dude. That's awesome. And I'd love for you if there's someone listening out there right now, like feeling a little bit stuck, yeah, maybe they're in that kind of midlife, maybe not, because we get stuck in life in different points and seasons of life. And sometimes we get stuck, sometimes we get unstuck, and then we get stuck again. But if someone's feeling a little bit stuck right now, I'd love for you to share any of your wisdom having gone through that process yourself. What are some of the things you can share?
Go for a walk. I mean, just go outside. Put the phone down and go outside and go for a walk. That is absolutely, and we do that all the time. So I take my wife, we go up, just take the dogs and we go up hiking. Just go outside, go for a walk and put the rest of the world behind. I mean, that's what I had to do. One thing that I do that helps keep me going. So I actually have a chapter in my book where Deuter and I would go on a backpacking trip every year. And we climbed King's Peak, which is the highest peak in Utah, on a backpacking trip. And the lesson I learned out of that trip was that as I'm going through this transformation, I'm climbing a mountain, right? I'm changing my life. I'm changing lifestyle. I'm changing my mindset, changing the way I view things, my thinking process, all of it. What's preventing me from falling back down the mountain? How do I keep myself from falling back down, right? I created a set of just daily mantras. And so I decided I need to re-identify myself. So I have these daily mantras where I wrote up on a whiteboard, keep it on my phone, that one, I am a runner. I say that to myself every morning. I say that to myself every night. I wrote up there that I am a great husband. I am a author. I am a learner. I am a fitness guy. I am an entrepreneur. So I just make these statements to myself that that's who I am now, right? And I read it every day. And if I'm a runner, what do you do? Well, you run. So simple things like who are you? Who do you want to be? And make those statements and tell yourself that all the time. So that's one thing that I do that helps.
When you said that, Jeff, it made me think about, we talked on the show, I can't remember what episode, we've talked about it on a couple episodes, I think, but this idea of transverse to what you were saying, when you're having a positive self-talk, a lot of times we can have that negative self-talk. We talked about it being kind of these negative soundtracks. What are the negative soundtracks that play in my mind sometimes? And it comes sometimes just from self-doubt. Sometimes it comes from media or other things you mentioned before, but things like, you know, Yeah, I could never run a 100 miler. I could never run 100K. I could never run a half marathon. Whatever it is for you, and it doesn't have to even be right running related. It can just be, hey, I could never write a book, or I could never go on my own and start my own business. These negative soundtracks and replacing them with those positive ones. So I love that.
And
so much.
I had 50 years of those conversations with myself.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of things to overcome. So those negative conversations, they'll never go away. You still have to figure out how to cope with it. And one way I do it is just ask myself, what would dude do? Dude is that alter ego. What would dude do? Would he let that bother you? No. If I wake up in the morning and I don't feel like running, so what? Dude would go for a run. What are you doing?
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned the book a couple of times. Tell us more about that.
So it all started, I started this blog, and I started looking for all these ideas. And so I decided to, why can't I put this into a book? Because I realized that watching a lot of my neighbors in my community, just, you know, you go to the airport, you go to the grocery store, and we are a very unhealthy country right now. There's a lot of overweight. There's a lot of feelings of negativity out there. Everyone's watching the news. There's so much division going on in here. And so, you know, when you stop watching TV and you stop watching the news and you stop listening to news radio and all that kind of stuff, you form a different perspective of the world. And so I want to help these people. How can I reach these people that need a little kick in the pants and realize that, hey, even if you are 50 years old, you can still change your life. So I feel like I have a story that could potentially influence these people. And I know there's some people in my life, family members, there's some neighbors and some friends that I have had an influence on. I don't take credit for anything anyone ever does, but I can at least inspire and put a fire under them to say, hey, you know, Jeff can do it. Maybe I can do some of this stuff too. But everyone makes their own choices, and everyone should take ownership for everything that they do that's positive. So,
is the book available now?
It is. It is. So you can go to dudeanddeuter.com, and there's a link to buy it direct from the publisher, but you can buy it out on Amazon and even barnesandnoble.com and so forth. So, yep.
That's great. Well, Jeff, I've been taking notes as you've been talking. I think this first one was more me, but I love this idea of, hey, day one may feel like taking a crap in the neighbor's yard, but make sure you make it for day two. Because day two is as important as day one. I love that. Also, what are the leashes that we're putting on ourselves? What are the restrictions that we're putting on ourselves? So maybe we don't even know it. I love that. Also, who do you see when you look in the mirror? What does that person look like? And do you need to change that? What are the inputs that you're allowing into your life? You change the inputs that you had coming into your life. It changed your life dramatically. And then what are those daily positive mantras? What's that positive soundtrack, replacing those old negative soundtracks with new positive ones? Such great, great takeaways. Did I recap that pretty well?
Yeah, very well. I have a lot more of them if you want them.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we want to leave something for the book. We want to leave something for the book. Well, I know there are listeners out there listening to you and resonating, and they feel like they're a little bit stuck. If someone wanted to reach out and get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
The best way right now is probably the website, dudeanddeuter.com. You can subscribe to, I have a, what I call the Deuter's Challenge email. So you can sign up for that and get a weekly email from Deuter. It actually comes from my dog, and he'll give you a weekly challenge and some other things that are going on in the world. And then you can link to some of my social media platforms, Instagram, and I have a YouTube channel I'm starting. And I'm, you know, I'm just getting started here. And Deuter and I are actually available. We would love to start speaking. I want to take Deuter on stage with me. And if there's any organizations out there that would benefit from a short transformation story with Deuter and I, we would love to be a part of that. So.
Well, it sounds like Deuter's quite the dog. And man, I don't know how you taught it to send email, but that's pretty impressive. Well, Jeff, dude, this has been a pleasure. Thanks so much for sharing your life story with us and the journey that you've been on and how our listeners can benefit from that. I really, really appreciate that. And thanks for joining the Big Ass Runner.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Thanks.
We'll talk soon. Well, are you training or want to train for some big goals or just want to get back into running and you're not sure exactly what to do? You're not sure what your programming should be. You're running, but you're not even sure what your plan is. There really is no plan. It's a bit haphazard. Well, if you would love a coach, I have two spots left on my OG coaching roster. I am coaching a very small roster of athletes. And by the way, my athletes are amazing. In fact, I have a couple, and you know who you are. I'm talking to you right now. You know who you are, who never miss a workout. They are unbelievable. You know, you got to miss workouts from time to time, but not these two. They are absolutely crushing it. But if you're interested in being coached, I am offering my OG roster discount. You get the low, low price for life. Jeff, a Big Ass Runner. Let's chat. See if it's a good fit. I don't want to coach you if it's not a good fit, but if it is a good fit, let's talk. Jeff at BigAssRunner.com. That is Big Ass Runner Coaching. You also find out more information on our website, BigAssRunner.com. Let's do it. Big Ass Runner Coaching. If you want a training plan that is customized to you based on your goals, based on your likes, based on the days you can run, on the days you can't run, do you want to train with weights? Do you want to train with other things? We develop a personal plan just for you. And if you need some accountability as well, you're finding that you're missing some runs, you need some accountability, and you also need some encouragement, let me know. I would love to work with you, jeff@bigassrunner.com. Well, I took a business trip this last week. I haven't traveled in a little while. I changed jobs recently and really enjoy my role and got a chance to go up north, get away from the heat, which is amazing. I'm in agriculture technology. And so we have a couple offices, one in Platteville, Wisconsin, called P Vegas. Not sure why.
What happens in Vegas is not staying in Vegas much longer.
It didn't seem to be the same as the Vegas I've seen, but hey, I get it. P Vegas, Platteville, Wisconsin. And then I had another meeting in Chicago, downtown Chicago. Here was the challenge. I needed to be in Platteville on Tuesday. I needed to be in Chicago on Wednesday. Doesn't really make sense to fly because they're pretty close together. And to get to Platteville, you've got to fly into Madison, Wisconsin. So I was like, how do I go from Madison to Platteville to Chicago? Maybe I can get a car from Madison to Platteville to Chicago and then fly back home from Chicago. Well, you can't rent a car one way. You have to return it. They blame supply chain. I told the data scientists that, and they got all a flutter. They said, quit blaming supply chain. I guess it's like a distant relative, distant cousin to the data scientist. I don't know how all that works, but apparently you cannot rent a car one way. You've got to return it to the same place. So I ended up flying to Madison, renting a car Monday night, driving to Platteville about an hour and a half, spent Tuesday in Platteville, spent the night there, got up super early, drove to Chicago, had a meeting, left Chicago that evening, drove back to Madison, did a little triangle, spent the night, flew back the next day.
My dogs are barking today.
And let me tell you a couple things. I've got three things I want to tell you about, but just a couple of observations. First of all, the drive from Madison to Platteville was beautiful. I know we've got lots of listeners out in the Wisconsin area. Farmland out there, beautiful, rolling hills, green, lush. I know there's been some drought issues, but you didn't know it from what I saw. It was beautiful, green, rolling hills, grain silos, red barns, cows everywhere. It was really, really cool. I threw up, much to Stephen and Timmy Time's dismay, I put on some John Denver as I was driving. It just made sense. I know we're not in the Rocky Mountains, but it just made sense. So these rolling hills, it was awesome. And spent the night that night in Platteville. And as I typically do in the evening, you know, in the middle of the night, at some point you got to get up and pee. And so I know this is probably too much information, but hey, we talk about poop on this show all the time. So hey, you're used to it by now, I suppose. Got up to pee and I was crazy dizzy. I could not even hardly, like, holding myself up against the wall, walking a step at a time, get to the bathroom. I was just crazy dizzy, which is unusual. That doesn't happen very, very often. And, you know, scares you a little bit when you're like, what's going on? Why am I so dizzy? Got back into bed. And once I got into bed, I was fine. But I started thinking about, so this was Monday night, or I guess Tuesday morning, depending on how you look at it. But we went to bed Monday night. I had to pee in the middle of the night, super dizzy. And I started thinking about my hydration. We talk about hydration all the time. I talk about it as a coach, the importance of hydration. And I started thinking about my hydration for that day. I'd done a 6-mile run Monday morning in McKinney, Texas. and sweat like crazy because it's hot here. And then I'd flown that afternoon and driven in. And I started thinking about the fluids I did or did not take in that day. So I ran with fluids. And then I got my protein glycogen mix that I do right after I ran. But then I don't know that I had any water after that. I know, shame on me. I think I had coffee. I had a Coke Zero on the plane. I had an Old Duels at dinner. And I started going, what in the world was I thinking? I am severely dehydrated. And I think that's why I'm so dizzy. I had bought a couple of big things of water, fortunately, for the week, not thinking, hey, you might want to start drinking it now, that I put in the little hotel fridge. So I grabbed those on the way back to bed and just started drinking a lot. By morning, I was fine. I went back to sleep a little bit. So I'm 100% sure that was the problem. But I think the lesson that I learned that I want to pass along is I think of hydration relative to training and running and making sure I'm staying hydrated for my runs and for my training. But once my training run was over, I flipped into travel mode. And hydration did not enter my equation for whatever reason. I don't know why it should have. I don't know why. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Peter Attia. He is pretty big on YouTube. His thing is, he's a doctor and his thing is longevity. And he told a similar story where he had gotten on a plane and flown to Brazil, a lot longer flight than I had, but he said that air travel dehydrates you because of the lack of humidity in the airplane. And so you lose more in while you're flying. And I'm thinking, okay, I wasn't putting any back in and I probably lost a lot in the flight. It was only like a 3-hour flight. Or I was on the plane about 3 hours, about 2.5-hour flight. Man, I was dehydrated. So the lesson, the cautionary tale is don't get out of hydration mode just because you're not in training mode. You may be in travel mode or work mode. You got to stay on top of the hydration. And I won't make that mistake again. The next morning I got up and got some stuff with some electrolytes in it. And I corrected the issue as quickly as I could. Felt fine the rest of the trip. Feel fine today. But hydration and dehydration can be a scary thing. I didn't have a headache. I didn't have some of the warning signs. But man, did I get dizzy in the middle of the night. So stay hydrated out there, whether you're in training. I know you're in training, but don't flip out of training mode and forget about hydration when you're doing other things like traveling. Make sure you stay on top of that. So that's the first little story I wanted to tell. The second one, oh man, how do I tell this? So the next morning, I'm feeling better. I got rehydrated overnight. I drank the sports drink the next morning, and I'm a breakfast guy, and I like to go to the Greasy Spoons. And Platteville's a little town. It's also, I learned as I was there, it's got a college there. I guess it's University of Wisconsin Platteville, and so there's several thousand students. Well, the students aren't there. It's the summer, so it was a pretty quiet little town feel. But I found this diner on Google. I Googled, hey, breakfast near me, and I found this little diner called the Owl Diner, I believe it was, downtown. Like, oh, I want to do that on the way to the office, to this office. I'd never been to the office, excited to go see it. And I'm a breakfast guy, so put it in the maps, start following the GPS. And it's downtown. Now, downtown is just a little downtown area of Platteville. Pretty much nobody around. This is early in the morning. No traffic. I didn't even really see many cars at all. So I'm following the map. and I turn one street too early. And as soon as I did that, I kind of realized it because, you know, it's like recalculating. I turned too early. I thought I was turning at the right one. I turned one too early. And then I quickly realized, I think this is a one-way street and I'm going the wrong way. No cars around, so no big deal, except this one car who was pulling out and turning right, basically would be coming towards me, noticed I was going the wrong way. At the same time I realized I was going the wrong way, this guy lays on the horn, which I get it. I'm going the wrong way. About this time he starts laying on the horn, I'm kind of turning into a parking spot to turn around anyway. And it's right next to where he is. And I know it's a he because for the following reason. So I roll down my window, being a 7, an Enneagram 7. I'm friendly. I was like, roll down the window, said, "Hey, man, I'm so sorry. I'm new here. I've never been here before. I didn't realize it was a one-way street. I'm so sorry." Well, this guy absolutely lets me have it.
He's an angry elf.
He questioned my intelligence. He questioned my reading ability. He questioned my legitimacy, I guess you could say. This dude was angry. Thus, I'm calling him Angry Al, only because I like alliteration. I have no idea what his name was. But he let me absolutely have it. And younger Jeff, less mature Jeff, would have probably reciprocated with some anger. But Clydesdale, more mature Jeff, I found it funny. I don't know why. I found it funny because he was so worked up. It wasn't like there was much traffic. It was not a dangerous situation by any stretch. This is a sleepy downtown area. But man, he was upset. And I think he saw that I was kind of amused by the whole thing. And I did have a sarcastic response to his dressing me down. I said, "Well, thanks for the warm welcome." And with that, he threatened to call the police. And I was like, okay. So I rolled the window back up and motioned for him to go on. And off he went, Angry Owl, very angry. I turned around. And that was it. And it's like, you know, sorry, I made a mistake. Wasn't dangerous. It was a mistake. Angry Owl. And then I got to thinking, you know, why was Angry Owl so angry? And it seems to me, and this is probably going a little bit of a soapbox, but it just seems like more and more I'm seeing just anger in different pockets of where I live. If you online or they watch the news or engage in people at all, it just seems like there's just a lot of anger right now. I don't know why exactly is the case, but and I was telling my wife this story, and she said something I think is so right. She said, you know, you don't know what morning he's had. You don't know what's going on in his life that's making him angry. The best response is not to give back what he's given you in anger, but to somehow muster up a little empathy and go, you know, I don't know what's going on. This guy, maybe he was just hangry. You know, I've been there.
You're not you when you're hungry.
Maybe he just hadn't had breakfast. I hadn't either. But maybe he, you know, you don't know. He maybe just lost his mom. You don't know what's going on in his life. Let it go. Have some empathy and move on. I wish I had maybe, I don't know. I think I handled it well, I think. I didn't think highly of him at the time. But I did. I just said a little prayer for him after I kind of got my thoughts collected, and I thought, I want to be more empathetic. And I think if we all were, I need to be, if we all kind of thought about that and tried to inject a little more empathy, I think it would go a long, long way. So that was story number 2, Angry Owl. And then story number 3 This is where the beacon of light would have really come in handy. So I've got this meeting in Chicago. I spent the night in Platteville. I thought it was about a 2-hour drive, but it turns out it was about a 3.5-hour drive. And I'd also heard and been warned about the Chicago traffic. My meeting's at 11:30. It was 11:30 on purpose so that you could miss rush hour. But I'm an early person. I wanted to be there early just so I get my bearings. And I heard, you know, don't park downtown. There's no parking. I'm like, well, I'm driving this car. Where do I park it? So I had an idea. I thought, you know, I'm going to drive most of the way. And as I get close to downtown, I'm going to just pull off and find a place to park and call an Uber so I don't have to worry about a parking garage or anything like that. And so that was the plan. So I'm driving and, man, yeah, traffic was brutal. Beautiful drive up until the time you kind of get into the city. And then it's just, you know, Chicago. It's a lot of people, a lot of traffic. And so I'm starting to go, man, I kind of got to pee. I need to find a parking place so that I can call this Uber and also before the Uber, find a bathroom. So I don't know the city. I see a medical park area. So I pull off. There are people everywhere. There are cars everywhere. There is no place to park. I find this kind of retail-y area, and there were huge signs that said, tow away zone. Do not park here. We will tow away your car. We will take your firstborn. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, warnings everywhere. I thought, where? So I started just driving around, and there is nowhere. I'm just in the middle of a big mess, and I have got to pee like an absolute racehorse. And I'm getting concerned. I'm getting a little concerned. What am I going to do? What in the world am I going to do? So at some point I'm like, I'm going to pee my pants. I don't know. Except, I don't know if you have this feeling where you're like, I'm just at a loss of what to do next. Cause I don't know where I am. I can't find a bathroom and I have got to pee and there are people everywhere. And so I look down. This is another TMI piece of information. And I'd stopped at Mickey D's for an Egg McMuffin and a large coffee. I drank the large coffee, thus the peeing. And the large coffee cup is empty. And so I realize this is a lot easier for the male gender on this one. But man, that coffee cup came in handy, pulled over to the side. And as I'm like peeing in this cup, I'm thinking, this is how people get arrested. A cop pulls up and you got your pants half down, you're peeing into a cup. I'm probably going to get arrested and be on the news. That's probably what's going to happen. But what's the lesson? Have a plan. I had a kind of a plan, but I didn't have a great plan. I had sort of a loose plan. And had I really selected the right location and maybe a hotel where I could have left the car, I don't know. But I needed a better plan, but at least I had the cup. At least I had the cup. There you go. If you're ever driving to Chicago downtown, make sure you pee early and often. Don't wait because there are no bathrooms. So by the way, I decided after I peed, I felt better. I decided, you know what? I'm just going to go downtown anyway, see if I can find a parking garage. I did. It was a piece of cake. So next time I know, just park downtown. No big deal. Downtown Chicago, kind of cool anyway. Well, there you go. There's my stories of the business trip. Hydration. Don't get dehydrated, y'all. Stay hydrated regardless of if you're kind of thinking in training mode or if you're clicking into vacation mode or travel mode or whatever. Keep on top of your hydration. Have some empathy. If you come across an angry owl, you don't know what they're dealing with. You don't know what's going on in their life. And make sure you pee early and often. Have a plan. There you go. There's my adventures to Platteville, to Chicago, and back to Madison, which, by the way, I stayed in Madison, and I'm seeing all these cross shirt people, t-shirts and stuff in my hotel. The CrossFit games are this week. I didn't even realize it. I'd forgotten that that's where the CrossFit Games are now. I wish I'd tacked on a couple of days and gone to the CrossFit Games. That would have been fun. But there you go. There's the adventures of Jeff's travel. Hope you learned a little something. I learned a ton, and I just wanted to pass it along. Hope you enjoyed. Well, believe it or not, that is the end of episode number 165 of The Big Ass Runner. I laugh because I can't believe we've done 165 episodes. Thanks to everyone involved with this show. Mandy for the intro, to Jeff Goodrich for joining the show and sharing your story, for his dude and dude it duder. Hope you enjoyed that. And thanks for listening to my little travel escapades. Is that the right word? I don't know. That sounds weird. Hope you enjoyed that as well. Some of the lessons that I learned. Hydration, folks. Stay hydrated out there. Also, big thanks as always to our audio engineer who makes this sound so good. Steve Cinnamon Bear Saunders. The trail tip of the week. This comes to us from our friend Tammy. Tammy says, I'd like to take my buff. Not in the buff, but take the buff. You guys know what a buff is, or neck gaiter. And wrap it around my wrist a couple of times and use it to wipe the sweat in these hot summer days. The buff around the wrist, I do that as well, and it comes in handy. So, Tammy, thank you for that excellent piece of trail running tippagery. Well, with that, get out there, hit those trails, and keep running your asses off. Changed his life pretty dramatically, and you're not sure. And so I flew. Here was the challenge. I don't know why exactly. And the best response is not to. That can go in the blooper reel. Thought about that and tried to ingest a little more and try to inject a little more empathy. Hope you learned. I don't know how to end this, Steve.